Welcome, Black Hollywood Live fans. You're watching the after show for Queen Sugar, episode 15, Copper Sun, with Miss Tina Lifford. Stay tuned for more. Welcome, Queen Sugar fans. We are back with an exciting episode and an even more exciting after show. We're joined by Miss Tina Lifford here in studio. So excited. Thank you for coming back.
I'm happy to be here.
Really appreciate it. Again, as you guys know, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
What's up, you guys? It's your girl, Kels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheUrbanGypsyLA.
Yes. Yes, so good to be back, and so glad to have you. I am Miss Candy Marie. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at SweetCandoraTV.
And where can they find you?
Tina Lifford, at Tina Lifford.
Nice. Keep it simple.
No mix-ups.
Well, what a beautiful, emotional episode this was. You know, we're getting deeper into the dark stuff. I guess we'll just kick it right off. What did you guys think about Darla and, you know, how she's being treated in this new revelation that's come to the entire family?
It's a tough one. I think as it's happening, I relate to the siblings and their response to her and wanting to protect Ralph Angel and Blue and feeling hurt by her. But then as it continues, I start to get worried about Darla. And I'm like, okay, you guys, that's still Blue's mom. Like, I know she messed up, but we want to make sure she stays healthy, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think my initial reaction when Ralph Angel went to the family and he said, you know, what he said, Blue isn't mine. Yeah. The first thing I thought was, well, she said there might be a chance. So I was still holding on to that slight chance that, well, what if the baby is yours? So I was kind of like, okay, well, technically that's kind of putting Darla and your family at risk by just saying, hey, the baby isn't mine without any proof.
Yeah, but, you know, we're talking about emotions, right? And we're talking about a man who has been so committed to this relationship, but more committed than to this relationship is his commitment to Blue. And it's like finding out that, you know, your parents aren't your parents. That's a big revelation. And it takes time to work your way through that. And I can understand the betrayal. I get that Darla was afraid and didn't want to lose him and didn't want to, you know, possibly rob Blue of a father figure. But she didn't think about this moment.
And the betrayal is almost worse when you know it's someone you probably shouldn't have trusted in the first place. Like, you know, he's like, well, I should have seen this one coming.
The whole family gave him a chance. Even Auntie Vi, your character, is like, you were hurt just as much as Ralph Angel because you pretty much raised, I'm saying you, like you're Auntie Vi, but I'm like you raised Blue. And you, before he even really said what it was, you're like, I knew we shouldn't have trusted her. I knew we shouldn't have done that. Because you, and I think too, like as we're watching, we've been feeling like Darla's still holding something back. Like she's so tense. She's not Something's excited about missing. Getting married. Like something is not, she still has a secret. And now we see what it is. And it's like, okay.
And for Ralph Angel, to some degree, like Blue doesn't really look like him. So he must have been like, I should have been questioning this all along, and I never did.
Because I would always say, that is that baby's, you know, that baby belongs to his mama. That is definitely the mama. Now, Ralph Angel, you know what I'm saying? Maybe her genes was just a little stronger. Maybe that's what it was.
And then we also had, I guess, Charlie running into some trouble with the mill and these rumors getting out about the mill and the grinding. What do you guys think about how she handled it and to control?
Listen, Charlie is a beast.
Yeah.
I respect Charlie. I respect how she handled it. I love to see Charlie come into herself more and more and to just own who she is and every part of her that's fierce and that's a boss. And I really, really appreciate that about her. Now, some things I don't necessarily appreciate, I think, was Remy's character. And I think we'll get into a little bit of that. I don't want to get into all of that, but I will say that I appreciate her confidence and I appreciate how she's handling that situation. And I think it's really hard to handle it the way that she did.
Yeah.
Right. She's always professional. She always rises to the occasion when it comes to business, whether it's going good or not. What I really loved was the way Ralph Angel and Nova had her back.
Absolutely.
So when the farmers were coming to Ralph Angel, he didn't even question it. He hadn't talked to her, but he knew that that wasn't an issue. He knew that it was the Landrys, and he's telling them, even though he's not really sure, he's like, I haven't talked to her, though, so it could be something, but I'm not gonna show that to them. And then Nova, she didn't even tell Charlie right away. Like, she kind of held it because she was trying to fix it for her first, because she knew she was nervous about it being the first harvest. So I just loved how they showed up, no second guessing, no extra thoughts. Like, okay, I have her back.
Right. And I will say this.
That's growth.
I just kept getting so pissed off at the Boudreaux and the Landrys, because I'm like, if it's not one thing, it's another with y'all. Yes. Like, y'all are always pulling something. And I want it so desperately for, I guess, for the community just to be stronger than that, for them to understand, like, that you already know who these people are.
Yeah.
Like, generation after generation, these people have tried to tear down your community. So why is it, like, why are you so afraid? Like,
sometimes
like,
we feel that.
Together we're stronger. Like, I guess I just, that was really pissing me off, and I just wanted them to just be stronger as a people.
Yeah.
You know, but the challenge here is that when your livelihood depends upon, you know, making the right choice.
Yeah.
It's really nice to stand for a cause, but you've got to put food on the table and shoes on your kids' feet. And I get people being afraid.
Yeah.
I think once we all figure out how to stand tall in the midst of our fear, you know, we as human beings in general will be more powerful.
Right.
But, you know, it's very easy to get manipulated by your need to feed yourself or your family.
I think even leading up to the rumor, though, I was really disgusted with, is he a Landry? The guy that started the rumor, right?
Yeah.
I was disgusted by the way he was coming on to Charlie. Like, I just felt so disrespected. And I think, you know, probably just from personal experience and things like that, just she carries herself so professional. So the thought that he thinks he can hit on her like that, and that is what's going to be the way, you know, oh, let's do a partnership. Absolutely not. Like, why would you think that's okay? That part made my skin crawl.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
I think he's supposed to make your skin.
Yeah, he did a great job. Okay, guys,
excellent work.
Thanks, writers.
Thanks. I think that's so much of what we see and we love about the show is the family, especially because there's the intra fighting, and then but they band together very quickly, and I think that's what we love so much about them. Like, I would say from season one to season two, do you feel that you guys are having more fun on set? You guys feel more collegial, familial with each other?
Oh, absolutely. I would say that we all would say that working on Queen Sugar is one of the best jobs we've ever had for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
All the entire cast, and we have an incredible crew, and we have a good relationship with our crew, but the entire cast is like family.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're down there together, down there being New Orleans where we shoot, for 5 to 6 months out of the year, all we have is one another. Mm-hmm. So we act like family.
Yeah.
You know, we can depend on one another. We party together. We, you know, navigate whatever challenges there are together.
Yeah, you see it and you feel it. And I definitely felt it over the two different seasons, which I love. The episode where we talked about Nova, and it looks like there may be another potential love interest for Nova.
Another one.
Yeah. What do you guys think about this and, like, Charlie's dynamic with...
Man, where that this hug is going. Was just a little too long for me. I was like, all right, y'all. Now, the anticipation, like, the hug, the touch of the hand, I was like, all right, now, y'all playing with fire right now. I feel like they're both in a very vulnerable place, and I feel like that's where that moment came from. But I really don't want to see that happen at all. Like,
yeah, I don't think we have to worry. I hope we don't. I feel like Nova's still in love with Calvin. I'm still rooting for Dubois, so I'm just going to...
But or you don't think Dubois. Charlie and Remy should maybe go their separate ways and maybe Nova is something more...
Well, I do agree. I think that Charlie and Remy should go their separate ways because at this point, I really don't see it working out, especially because I feel like, again, Charlie's really coming into more of who she is, and and I'm so happy to see that, but I don't think that Remy wants who she really is. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Nova, I think, again, they're just two very vulnerable people that just want love.
Yeah.
Right. I agree. I think Charlie, we said this last year, and last week, Charlie and Remy, they don't really fit with each other. Like, it sounds good in theory. They both were there for each other at a good moment, but who Charlie is and the way she's an alpha female, it doesn't really match with Remy, although he's a man's man at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. He's not used to dealing with that type of a woman. Yeah. He's more simple. He wants something like a round the way girl, and that's not Charlie.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the fact that she challenges him, but I agree with you 100%. He definitely needs more round the way
I like
girl.
Hampton Blue in the chat. Charlie and Remy forever.
Tina, you are awesome. Yes. Someone else say you look beautiful. Oh, you're getting all the compliments in the live chat.
Thank you. Yeah, Charlie is not the white picket fence, mm-hmm. and Remy is. Yeah.
Yes,
you know, and you have to reconcile that.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, I'm not sure if Charlie has totally packed away her feelings where Davis is concerned.
Hey, that's what I'm always saying.
And you know, honestly, I really don't want to see her go there either.
I hear you.
But the one thing I will say is that I feel, and I really don't want to say this either, but the closest thing that I've seen to somebody who I think could even touch the surface where Charlie is Bennington. Bennington or I really don't want to say this, y'all, so don't kill me in the live chat, but also Landry. And it's simply because of how edgy they are, how like they can play in the same world that she's in.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like, okay, I get what she's trying to do. She's trying to use her feminism and all everything that she is as a woman to her advantage, but I just hope that it doesn't come back to bite her in the butt.
Yeah.
So what if she does play with fire a little bit? What if she does kind of, you know, kiss him or play into whatever he, you know, he's trying to do? I just hope that she doesn't fall too deep into that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all hope that, and I think that's that thin line as women when we're mm-hmm. in business and in certain industries. Like, that is a gift that we have, our femininity, and being able to use that to play to our advantage. But it is a very thin line because you can get yourself into some very uncomfortable situations,
right.
And once you get there, it could actually ruin your career instead of help it, or ruin your inner morals, mm-hmm. if anything.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Charlie is absolutely playing in a man's game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yes, she did it in the sports world.
Right.
But we're talking about old boys in the South.
Right. Yeah.
So that's territory that she hasn't traveled before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's thick with chauvinism. It's thick with history about who women are and the fact that they are property or, you know, somebody's arm candy.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's playing with fire,
she
mm-hmm. likes fire.
She does. Yeah.
That's true.
And I think that's why she's probably going to go back to Davis.
But
a reformed Davis.
Right.
I think because we never saw her have that moment where there was an acknowledgement of, you were this guy that I loved for the last 20 or 30 years of my life. Like, she never had that moment of...
It's over.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you fall back into bed, but sometimes it's just a moment of acknowledgement that there was a love there, I've moved on, and we never had that. So that's why I think she's still on the hook with him.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens there.
Don't do it, girl. You're better than that. Don't do it. I don't trust that damn Davis.
Well, one character I am starting to love is our little woke soldier, Micah.
He's really
wakening up. What do you guys think of his sort of evolution especially from where he was earlier in the season?
I just want to say I'm proud.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, very proud of him. I've liked the progression of his character over time in this season. And I think leading up to the events of everything that's occurred up into the point where he decided to put those papers on those lockers, and he stood up to his friend and he explained to his friend why he thought it was important to put those papers up rather than simply send an email, because a locker is something that you're going to go to every day. An email is something that you could miss. I appreciate his effectiveness and his confidence in stating that. But I don't agree with what came
after that. Right.
I guess for me, I'm just trying to make sure that I am treading lightly in our conversations today. And I don't, you know.
And for the viewers out there,
reveal too much.
Some of us got to preview the last episode, so that's why we're,
you know. I'm treading lightly, y'all. So y'all got to forgive me if I'm very cautious of my words, because we want to make sure that you guys get the full experience and we don't let anything out too soon.
Right.
But I'm very proud of his character.
Yeah, I'm proud of Micah, too. I feel that it's unfortunate that he went through the experience with the police, but I think being in such an experience where you're fearful for your life has now put him in this position where he's not afraid. So him putting up those flyers on the lockers and then his friend challenging him, I think if that other situation hadn't happened, he might have backed down and said, oh, maybe you're right. Or when they start throwing it at him, he might have felt some type of way. But I think because of what happened, that's nothing. You can throw it at my foot. And then I love how the scene right after that was like a praise for him, and it's that reminder, like, you are doing what you're supposed to do. And it's just one of those things, like, just keep going, even
though
you don't always see the support right away.
Right. And I'm starting to see more of his mother in him as well, and Nova, and the Nova. Influences of the people who came before him. So I think that that's a beautiful thing.
Well, you all are proud of Micah. I'm proud of Nick Ash, the actor who plays Micah. He is so incredibly talented, and I feel that season two has given us all the opportunity to see the layers and the depth that actor can bring to the screen. I know that I've watched him work both on set and then actually watching the episode. And you just feel everything that he's going through. And he gives you such a nuanced but real and connected performance.
So connected.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this season, too. It feels like a true ensemble cast where everyone has a story. Everyone has a mission. Everyone. Because, you know, initially I was like, oh, is this like a Kofi's in the lead? But it's a real ensemble where you have all these beautiful relationships between everyone, especially Hollywood and Vi, who we love so much.
Oh, my gosh.
How has that been for you, just getting to navigate that relationship on screen?
Well, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing in a number of ways. Just the fact that these characters exist, that's a blessing.
Right.
And it is never lost on me that it's because Oprah Winfrey 30 years ago started doing the heavy lifting that put her in the position to own where she could green light a Queen Sugar, which I don't believe would have been greenlit anyplace else.
Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, it starts back that far. And then, you know, for her to meet Ava at a time when Ava's own artistry was blooming in a way that Ava could take the story of Queen Sugar and envision something bigger than the book, you know?
Yeah,
so
right.
Those two things had to happen before we get here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ava, she envisions Aunt Vi as a character that we literally have never seen on television before.
Yeah.
But we've seen Aunt Vi in all of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like I woke up one morning and realized, oh my God, Aunt Vi is an archetype.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
We all know her. We all love her. But we haven't seen her.
Yes.
And I know that Aunt Vi is Ava DuVernay's love letter to her own mother.
I love it.
Yeah, yes. Isn't that beautiful?
It's so beautiful because, like, being the matriarch of your family, we've never seen on TV her being confident and sexy.
Yes.
And it being okay for her to be confident and sexy.
Yeah.
And that's what your character shows us. And it's so inspiring to mothers and matriarchs.
Yes.
everywhere. Yeah, so thank you for that. It's so empowering.
Yeah, yeah. It's exciting to be able to model that because, you know, well, the two of you were at the screening yesterday, but literally, I had a conversation with a 92-year-old friend, and I asked her, me and a girlfriend asked her, so when does the sexual urge go away? And actually, my friend reminded me today that our friend's answer was, I don't know.
We should know that.
Right. You know, we as women and even as men, we should know that there's a myth out there about our sexuality that needs to be debunked.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I'm so glad we're talking about this right now because I think for me, that's probably something that we're all afraid of is like when we get married and you know, what is it going to be like between your husband and you when you're like 70 and 80 years old? Like, do people stop having sex?
Right.
And if so, why? Because right now, I'm 30 years old and I'm like, well, damn. I don't know what's going to ever come. Like, in sexuality is so expressive and it just gives you and your significant other just so much and it's such a beautiful thing. So it's like, you know, why do you have to get to that place in your life where
it just goes away?
Like, right. Why?
Yeah.
Do you guys have these type of conversations on set? Because I always envision sort of like a Queen Sugar, like, Bible study, but script study. Because you have so many, like, interesting issues that, like, you're in, but then you as an artist, you're kind of, you know, looking at from the outside in. Do you guys have discussions about how you're going to bring to life a message or what you feel is important about an episode?
We don't really talk about how we're going to bring it to life. And I would say that we don't have that conversation because every single actor on Queen Sugar is committed to bringing excellence. Mm-hmm. You know, two people might have a discussion about a scene, but in terms of us having sort of a group discussion about, you know, what we want to do, we want to tell the truth.
Yeah. Right.
We want, if we do that, then you all will be talking.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't even really want to have an opinion or a spin on it because when Violet, when you saw Violet have this racist reaction to the
white friend that Hollywood brought home,
Tina Lifford was like, whoa, wait a minute. When did I become racist?
Right. You know?
But in having a conversation with Ava, I had to admit that there are a lot of Black people who live in their community and they don't venture out. And their home is where they are most comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I needed to acknowledge that that might be the possibility for viewers.
Yeah.
So just go with it.
Yeah, we had a long discussion.
Really?
It was amazing. Yeah.
Because it was shocking part of Vi's personality to see that. But then it was also understandable in a way as well.
Yeah, because it's like, how is it possible that Vi, she is the go-to person. She's the level head of
one.
Now we were starting to see you kind of like as the bad guy. Like is she racist? But I think that the beautiful thing about Queen Sugar is that these are conversations that everybody can have in their homes. Like, you guys are giving great examples, like, about race, about family, and, you know, the Black family, and it's so many great conversations on so many different levels that you can talk about rather than somebody preaching to you. You can simply just say, watch this episode of Queen Sugar, because it gives such a great example.
Yes. And the education is there just because you can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree,
right,
but you can talk about it.
Right. And so many different standpoints.
Yeah.
And I love Queen Sugar because what it does is it really highlights a lot of, I guess, female issues and, like, you know, they're in the South and they're dealing in a man's world. And I know that you have this play that you're working on, The Circle.
Mm.
And so that's all about female empowerment. I'd love to hear more about that and how the two kind of coincide.
Well, they coincide in that the person who plays Aunt Violet and the person who wrote The Circle are the same.
Yeah, but I'm
that
saying
would
like,
be me.
But the female issues, yeah.
But I was just kidding. But Well, you know, in terms of Queen Sugar and Ava DuVernay's vision, as best as I can speak to it, she, one of her messages and themes is inclusion, mm-hmm. you know. And for me, inclusion goes beyond race. It can really dive into very subtle waters. And inclusion is the inclusion of your personal feelings, your mm-hmm. history, your when it comes to the work that I do outside of acting, which I call Inner Fitness, the Inner Fitness Project. Now we're talking about how do we become aligned with and make peace with the hurts, dramas, traumas, upsets, and disappointments that come with life, right? Mm-hmm. And we do that by being able to be with them, mm-hmm. you know, instead of running from mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. And so The Circle, which is the play that I wrote, The Circle is about seven diverse women navigating the choppy waters of life together. And what we do, not just entertain and give you a good story, but I feel that we model what it looks like to be with yourself mm-hmm. at challenging times in a supportive community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what Queen Sugar does as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I feel like we kind of even see that with Ralph Angel in this episode when he's, like, dealing with these emotions. And first he gets drunk, but even that scene where he's like, I can only say this once. And oof. He's like, rally the family. I need them. And then even during the harvest, like, he's pushing through. And I feel like this has been one of the most amazing episodes of us seeing Kofi just take it all the way there. Yes. Like, yes. gut-wrenching.
Yes.
Right.
Performance,
because
right.
he's not whining anymore. He's actually right. going through some right. stuff.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
got some real
but
stuff.
But then he's still showing up.
Yeah.
He still showed up.
He showed
yeah.
up.
Yeah. He could. That was one of those things where he could have easily been like, "I can't show up today,"
yeah.
but he showed up. He carried those emotions, and he knew he had his family to have his back, and that's important.
Yeah, I love that scene that you're talking about and that episode for the reason that family is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether family is your birth family
right.
or whether it is your, you know, extended family or your adopted family, there's nothing better than knowing that whatever road you are going down, there are people who are going to be there. If it's just to, like the family did in the scene, just show up.
Yeah.
Just show up in the living room.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
just be a place where you can get that difficult
right.
thing said.
Right.
Yeah.
Be a place where you don't have to carry the burden
right.
of something all by yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
That's I think that that's what Queen Sugar is giving
right.
us.
Yes.
The a community where we can experience the things that are difficult and then keep getting up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And speaking of that support, I also really appreciate the support that was given to Blue.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
the attention to detail to Blue in the way that the way that it was shot, and we could tell that, like, when they started to show the pictures of Blue and they started to put more emphasis on his character, because I think, like, toward, you know, the end of the season is when we really started to see more of his character. You know, before it was just kind of like him being featured, but now it was like, wow, you know, the different, you know, phases that we saw him in, interacting with, you know, you, interacting with his aunties. How do you feel about the progression of his character?
I feel, as you said earlier, that the entire ensemble has progressed
yes.
in season
mm-hmm.
two.
Yeah.
And Ethan is an equal part of that ensemble.
Right.
And I think that the writers did a fantastic job of both sort of giving more flesh to Ethan or to Blue, as well as to Micah,
mm-hmm.
you know, and even Remy. You
yeah.
know, there was more of Remy to be seen
right.
and experienced this season.
Yeah.
So I think they did a good job.
Yeah, they're even good at making the characters that come in for one or two episodes feel very full. You know,
yes.
like Dr. Dubois, I felt like I really
yes.
like I knew that character, you know?
Yes. Charlie's mom.
Yeah, so good. Yes. Like, Darla's mom, they're just good at making these characters seem very rich and very full already when they hit the screen.
Yeah.
And they're all so dynamic. They're all always changing, always evolving, always pulling off more and more layers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that Ava shared with us at the beginning of season one was that she wanted us to know that the story that we're telling is the story of the brilliant, beautiful story of everyday people. And that that is as compelling and even more compelling than a car chase.
Yes.
Well, we have a question in the chat from Doran. He said, Tina, how do you keep in shape?
Ooh,
and I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah, that I get asked that question a lot lately. It's really sort of simple for me. I make sure that I walk. I walk probably 4 to 5 times a week. And when I say walk to the store, literally walk to the store, you know. I actually live in Studio City, so I hike in Runyon Canyon. That takes me about 1 hour and 10 minutes every time I do it. And I do the uphill trail, so I'm getting cardiovascular. And then I also, I eat well. I make sure that I have at least one meal, that's between lunch and dinner, at least one of those meals has real food, you know, where it's not cheese, it's leafy vegetables, or, you know, I don't eat meat. Since I watched the documentary. In August, I was shooting another film in Vancouver. Second day on the film, one of the actors suggested that I watch What the Health. I watched it that night, and I haven't eaten meat since. And it wasn't a decision. It just happened.
How do you feel? Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you feel with that change?
It feels natural, you know. I can't tell you that it'll be forever, because I wasn't expecting to do it at all.
Right.
But, and I'll tell you another thing that is really important to maintaining health and weight is drinking a lot of water. I drink a lot of water. Those are the three things I do.
And so do you find this also part of inner fitness too, is like maintaining that sort of like healthy?
Inner fitness is it's, you know, body, mind, spirit, soul. And we know what to do when it comes to the body. We need to learn what to do when it comes to the inner self, and be able to access those tools and strategies as easily as we know we can start dieting or exercise in terms of taking care of the body. I think that a great place for beginning one's commitment to well-being, that's my work, well-being, is the same as the commitment to wellness, which is a body thing. And that is caring, you know, seeing yourself as important enough to give yourself that kind of consideration. If your life isn't working, if you're not experiencing yourself the way you would like to experience yourself, if your body is not in the shape that you want your body to be in, if your relationships are not at a place that feels healthy and strong, then care enough to do something. That's the starting point.
Yeah, I almost feel like if Auntie Vi wasn't managing the High Yellow, she would be Tina Lippert.
Right. Literally.
Just dropping gems.
You have a book, right, that goes into all these details and gives steps on how to build your inner fitness.
Yes, yes. It's called The Little Book of Big Lies, and you can purchase it through Amazon. And what The Little Book of Big Lies does, you know, first off, we say that anything that has diminished your sense of yourself in any way, shape, or form is a lie. Doesn't matter if it came from the mouths of your parents or an experience that you had in school or from your own mind. If, in fact, it has left you feeling less than and not good enough, it's a lie. And so it's time to confront that lie and call it what it is. And once you know that that thought that you're carrying is not true, then you can start to actually strategically give yourself new truths and ideas to consider. And at the very least, because you'll have new ideas to consider, you will begin to take time away from, mental energy away from that lie that has not been challenged up until now, right? Wow. And one of the things that I'll just give you to walk away with is that the truth is that each and every one of us is innately creative, resilient, empowered to choose, whole, and worthy.
Amen. Oh,
and
seriously.
And that I recommend that when those that noise comes up, you know, be courageous and investigate it, but tell yourself that from this point forward, there is never, ever a justifiable reason for you to speak harshly of or to yourself, not for any reason, at any time, under any circumstances. It is simply unacceptable.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? Listen. Wow. Like, can you just restate the name of the book one more time for our viewers?
Yes. It's The Little Book of Big Lies.
All right, guys. So make sure you go out and get that. You can get everything she just said. It's in the book.
That's right.
I would like to do predictions, but we probably shouldn't do those. So let's do, what has been your favorite storyline to tell for Aunt Vi this season?
I really loved getting back with Hollywood.
Yeah.
We all love that too. Yeah, we
weren't accepting anything else.
and the standing there waiting for him to come off that bus, you know, and feeling all of the emotions of what if it doesn't happen? What if he doesn't descend those steps? That just really, once Violet saw him, it was like they are going to be together forever. Because the idea of losing him was just too much. So loved that. And then, of course, you know how life does. This illness thing is it's a challenge, not because it's an illness, but for Violet, here she is living her best life right this
moment.
She's
got it together.
You know what I mean? I mean, she's got her man. She's got her family.
She's got Blue.
Yeah. She's got the pies. And here's this specter of doom. And I think that she knows that she can handle the illness. What she can't handle is what it might take away from her.
I think that was one of my favorite shots, too, when Nova came in and gave you the medicine. You had your wig off. She's laying on your chest. I'm just like, I don't know, too familiar. I was in tears. Like, those moments are life-changing.
And that goes back to that support that we talked about. You know, even the matriarch of the family, you know, can allow her family to come in and still support her and have her back.
Well, and that was for a couple of episodes. The challenge for Vi, you know, is to allow herself to be cared for as much as she cares for others. And another reason that her love for Hollywood is so deep is that that man loves her enough to create an interruption of a pattern of giving and being there for everyone else that is so deeply rooted inside of her that she's not even conscious that it's a problem.
And I love it because I feel like there's probably some woman out there who's now going to be able to share whatever it is she's going through with her family and get that support she needs because she got to see it here.
Even the scene right before that when Nova comes in the bathroom and you're like, I'm blessed. And she's like, nah, that's not what I asked you. I'm like, that's so real. Like, I feel like the matriarchs are always carrying everything and they don't want to be a burden to anyone. And sometimes that's what causes the illness is that you're carrying everything.
Absolutely. And in our culture, in our society, I'm blessed, you know, is just an easy way to avoid. Mm-hmm. And we don't even know that we're doing it. It's just such a part of the culture.
Right. That's how we've been conditioned to handle things.
Right. Yeah. And we've been conditioned to handle things, but more, I think we've been conditioned to not feel because we're terrified that if we feel, those feelings are going to take us out.
Yes.
Yeah. And real strength is the ability to be with what's difficult and learn that it can't take you out.
Yes. You guys, I think
we're in the church. Okay. I don't want this to end. Like, I just got so much. I was just fed so much. Wow.
Wow. Man. That's beautiful.
Wow.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
You.
Oh, I wish
thank
we had some more time.
I wish we could. Hey, guys, engineers, what's going on? Can we keep this thing going?
Let's keep it rolling for a while.
Why not?
Oh, God. Thank you to our viewers that joined us. So we really appreciate it. Well, I guess we'll be back again next week for another episode.
Yes.
Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
I'm your girl, Kels. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Urban Gypsy LA.
Hey, guys, and it's Miss Candy Marie. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Candy Marie and on Twitter at Sweet Candora TV.
And Miss Tina Lifford, the amazing Tina Lifford. Thank you for joining us.
Amazing.
Where can they find you?
Amazing.
You can find me on all platforms at Tina Lifford.
And you guys better follow her because she's been styling and profiling lately, okay?
Yes.
You do not want to miss out on it.
Yes.
Loving it.
And get filled up on that Instagram and that Twitter. You're dropping gems all the time.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.